As we turn to this parable about the tax collector and the Pharisee, I want to start with a story. Well, it's not a story, it's someone's life. It's a young man's life. He lived in Beaufort, North Carolina. He was in the 7th grade. And he was known to be the class clown. And everybody liked him and thought things in this young man were wonderful and up and coming. And no one thought to ask him what was the rest of his story. A week ago, a little over a week ago, he was found in his garage, hung by a bungee cord. The young man had found himself in that place where he thought the only answer was to commit suicide. But the hard thing for those who knew him and loved him, and it was one of my friends in Beaufort whose sons went to school with him, was what happened afterwards. Because Snapchat and all other places of social media began all the pointing of fingers, all the harassment of the teachers, the parents, the friends. They began to point fingers to such a degree that counselors were called into school. And his funeral was this past Saturday. So the community is grieving. But what the community is still dealing with is the aftermath of what we do as brothers and sisters in Christ, as what we do as community in the world, which is we make judgments. We make judgments. No one asked this young man ever, are you okay? Instead, after his death, they began to see all the people who were at fault that he was not okay. And you may wonder, why do I think his story matches that of the Pharisees and the tax collector? Because at some point, aren't we all a bit of this Pharisee? Aren't we all at some point pointing fingers at others and blaming others or seeing others as less than we are? And the more we put someone else down, the bigger we begin to feel. And that's what began happening in that community for over a week, until parents and teachers and counselors got together and began to help the children understand what it means to be so desperate that the only thing you do is commit suicide. The only reason why he got to that place of isolation is because the community let him be isolated. Middle school, those of you who remember it, is one of the hardest places for an adolescent. So much is going on in your body, and you're trying to fit into this group or that group or that group, and this group judges that group, and that group judges this group, that you could say that middle school is a school of Pharisees. And there, in the midst of the Pharisee, is the one who needs God's mercy. When Jesus told this parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, he was talking to a group of people that needed to hear this story. So he wasn't pointing to that group outside of the group gathered. He was talking to the whole group and saying, when do you act like the Pharisee? When do you stand in your prayer closet and praise God that you are not like those other people? And he lists those other people. He lists adulterers and thieves and rogues. And then he even points to that tax collector. Now, I want you to remember something about this whole scene, is that Pharisee was standing somewhere in the temple. So there were a whole bunch of other people standing in the temple, all praying and offering their prayers to God. And the tax collector, we assume, was somewhere far back, because he wasn't welcome, because he was a tax collector. People didn't want to associate with him. So he was way back there humbling himself before the Lord, admitting to God that he needed mercy, admitting to God that he was a sinner. In the midst of that genuine prayer, there was someone standing in the midst of the temple, pointing his finger at him and saying, "I'm glad I'm not like him." I don't know if you'll admit it, but I'll admit it. There are some times I compare myself to others and I'm glad. What's the saying we like to say there, "But for the grace of God go I"? And we think that's a pretty good saying, don't we? "There, but for the grace of God go I." But what have we just said about the one that we were pointing at when we said it? All of us have stories. All of us have places of pain. All of us have brokenness. All of us need the mercy of God. There is no one, no matter what wealth they have, or no matter how much they are in poverty, all of us are worthy of God's mercy. When we begin this stratification of who is worthy and who isn't, who belongs in and who belongs out, we get people who get lost in the shuffle. It's like you take a seething board and you seethe them out, or you have them on the top as the crumbs that you throw out, and they get lost. Jesus tells this parable because the people need to hear the story, because the people need to recognize that even in the midst of a sanctuary filled with people who love God and love one another, there is brokenness. There's that sense that they don't belong. There's that sense that all they need is God's mercy and the hope that maybe the community will embrace them and call them part of their own. Suicides are rising all over the place. You pick a particular group of people, whether it's middle schoolers, whether it's veterans with PTSD, whether it's some of our aged who find themselves alone and hopeless. You just pick an age group, you pick a disease, you pick a situation, and you're going to find that suicide is on the rise because the community is less than it should be. The community has a tendency to exclude that which makes us uncomfortable. We don't like to be uncomfortable, do we? And Jesus is reminding us that that taxpayer made everybody uncomfortable. So we might not see ourselves as the Pharisee, because we've made Pharisees the bad guy, haven't we? Haven't we labeled all Pharisees bad? Do you know that Jesus was a Pharisee? Pharisees were teachers of the law, teachers of the Torah, teachers of the tradition, people who would come and open the scrolls in the temple and read and tell. Jesus was a Pharisee. There are some who acted as this Pharisee acted, but not all Pharisees were self-righteous. And not all taxpayers were bad. Some knew they were sinners and needed the mercy of God. Jesus reminds us that we are to humble that the humble will be exalted, and those who are not humble, who exalt themselves, will be humbled, will be brought to that place of repentance. And remember, he says they will be humbled, which gives them the opportunity to be just like the tax collector and to ask for mercy. Because when we get to that place that we need God's mercy, it is a humbling place, is it not? When we know that we need to repent of our sins. And sometimes it's the sin of self-righteousness. Last week, Morgan was teaching us about the parable of the widow and the unjust judge, and how the widow was persistent in her prayers and the unjust judge relented. God wants us to be persistent in our prayers. But Jesus follows that parable with this parable about the way to pray. We can We can give thanks to God for the gifts that we have. But when we're in a place of public prayer, the one that needs to get all the glory is God. The one who needs to be lifted high is Jesus. It is not us. And the ones that we need to reach out to are the ones that may sit in the back corners or may sit in the front pews, who need to know that they are beloved by God, that their life is worth it because God created it. There's a community in Beaufort still reeling from the death of a 12-year-old boy. Some of them not even understanding why he did it, because no one knew his pain. God knew his pain. God knew his pain. And I, for one, know that God said, "Welcome home," because that's the God I love. But we're called to remind those in our community that they are beloved by God. And we're also called to pray in such a manner that we ask God for mercy for our sinfulness and for the healing of those around us. It is Reformation Sunday, and God is reforming his church. And he will cast out those who choose not to be part of the kingdom of God. He will cast out those who are like the Pharisee in the parable, making judgments upon those God created and called beloved. He will reform his church to be the church that looks like the kingdom of God that God created. And we can either be part of that kingdom or be pruned. Do not fear. God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven will come according to God's will and God's time. As Joel says, it will happen. As God commands and promises, it will happen. Let the people here in this community see it in how we treat one another. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.